It is such a privilege to be here. We continue our series on love, rediscovered. And before I start, though, what do you guys think that is? Can you show the picture there? It's an ultrasound. Why would I be showing an ultrasound? Yeah, I'm 49 years old, but my wife and I discovered we're pregnant. And now, there's a reason I share this. You know, we've been hearing about how patient love is and how kind. And when we discovered it a few weeks ago, I was surprised. I thought things weren't working anymore, but they still are. My wife said, let's go check. Let's go see the doctor. And so she scheduled an ultrasound, but she didn't go the morning she's supposed to go. She slept in because she's tired a lot. My wife and I are older. And so we went the next day, and she said, can you come with me? And I said, well, what's the schedule? She said, walk in. Do you know what walk in means? Walk in means there's no schedule. You just show up and you try to be there. So I said, okay, I'll be a supportive husband. So we went, walked in, and we're waiting there. And while we're in the clinic, she looks over and she says, you know, we should do a birthing class. And I said, birthing class? We've had three children. We don't need a class. We can give a birthing class. And she looked at me and said, you weren't supportive. And the truth is, the first baby, I went to the gym and my friends went to the hospital first. The second or third baby, I was booking tickets to a trip. And she felt I never learned how to count, to do the breathing. So we're still journeying. We're still a little early. But I share it because it is a challenge to love. And I called my brother, and he said, you know, brother, if she wants you to do a birthing class, just be supportive. So I told my wife, okay, we can do a birthing class. But it's not easy to love sometimes, right? You think you figured it out, and at all times I should be supportive, and I wasn't. Now, pray for us, because this is a higher risk pregnancy. So I shared it also so I can have we covet your prayers as a church. But the topic today is connected to fatherhood. If you read the verses, and I'm going to be a father now, Lord willing, a fourth time, it talks about how a father disciplines his children because he loves them. If you look at our series today, we were at the beginning, Jesus, be known by love. My father introduced it, and then Paul, the apostle, was the next person we looked at. And my dad also talked about how love is action. And you remember that verse? My dad went through love is patient, love is kind, and then that definition we have as a church. And then the third message was done by my brother Edric, somewhere here, love radically. And we learned about words of healing words. Remember Ambassador Slayton shared what to do? Have you guys been applying those healing words to your family? I've been trying to tell my children I love them three times, at least once or maybe once every 2 weeks. And you know, it's huge. It allows us to connect. And yet the other day I told my son, I love you, like not just like that, but I said, you know, I love you. And then I said, hey, if there's anything you want to talk to daddy about, you can. And he said, dad, I have some questions. And he opened up some thoughts in his mind and, you know, he was able to open up to me. And he's 6 years old. So that was love radically. And then the fourth message was, we look at, I think the Peter, the apostle, and Pastor Ricky shared that, love fervently. And then last week, my brother spoke on John, and that is love is abiding in God. So today, we tackle a topic that people sometimes don't want to talk about because love has a side to it that is the tough side of love. You know, the message last night at the Saturday night service was, love is tough and tender. And we have to remember that there's a side to love which says, love seeks the highest good. And sometimes the highest good is not giving someone what they want, it's doing what needs to be done. In God's case, God disciplines us. So the topic of today is love through discipline. And I want to open in prayer, if we can all bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are our loving Father. Thank you for the blessings. Lord, thank you for this series on love. I pray that today, as we talk about your love that disciplines us, and how true love is more than just a fun feeling and you know, it includes this tough side. I pray that you will speak to all of us. May your Holy Spirit be the one that speaks today to everyone. Override my preparation. I admit, without you, I can't do it, and I need your help. In your mighty name we pray, amen. So love through discipline, and we're going to talk about one of my favorite Bible characters, King David, as well, as we go through it. So we have three simple points. The first one is, what is the reason? The second point is, what should the response be? And the third point is, what is the result? So when we talk about what is the reason, if we look at these verses, it says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Notice that in the Christian life, it is hard. And part of the hard part of being a Christian is this battle against sin. The Bible never says it's going to be easy. So one of the reasons that discipline is part of our lives is because we must learn to strive against sin. And the Bible actually uses an amazing analogy. It wants us to get to the point where we can resist to the point of shedding blood. There's nothing in life worth having that is easy. Everything comes at a cost. And learning to strive against sin is part of why we go through discipline. But verse 5 tells us the tender side is it's related to who we are. It says, you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. Remember, we are God's children. And we forget sometimes that we are God's children. It says, you have forgotten. And we forget. We are forgetful people. The Old Testament, you see it. I admit, I am forgetful. So discipline helps us remember. It says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. There's two sides to our issues with discipline. One is we regard it lightly. And, you know, as an example, sometimes we struggle with sin. God allows circumstances to bring us back. And then what happens? Things are going okay, we forget. That's regarding lightly. Or you think, you know what? God's loving, it's okay. That's regarding lightly. The other extreme is we faint when we are reproved. Like, it's too much, God. I can't take it. So we lose hope. Bible's telling us, when God disciplines us, one, don't take it lightly, but two, don't lose hope. Because God is doing it because he is a loving, tender God. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So what is the reason we are disciplined, or that love disciplines? It's love. As a parent, I really love my children. There's a verse I'll show you later. I discipline them. So those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. The original Proverbs doesn't use the word scourge, but in this verse it does. And scourging is a higher form of a more painful form. And sometimes, you know, in our lives, we don't listen, and God allows the consequences to get worse and worse and worse. And I know many of us have experienced God's discipline, and it's painful. So the Christian life is not a walk in the park. And one of the reasons we are disciplined is, first, God loves us. And the word discipline is paideo. So children, and there are children here. I want to see the children, some children in the room. Why do your parents discipline you? Taylin, Trayson, hi Scarlett. Why are you disciplined by your parents? Because they love you. Remember that. All of us, we are children because God loves us. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? So this verse tells us that discipline itself teaches endurance. And part of the goal of discipline is because we are children, it says, what son is there his father does not discipline? So discipline is a goal, right? It is for discipline that you endure. It is part of our lot. We endure because it is who we are. We are children. And look at this, verse 8. if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers. The Bible tells us if you are God's children, discipline is part of life. You are a partaker of discipline. So sometimes you see people, they do sin, they do things and they get away with it. And you're wondering, God, why? Well, maybe they're not God's children. It says here, if you don't have discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Because it says, what son is there whom his father does not discipline? So discipline is part of our nature. It says we are partakers as Christians. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? So we are disciplined. What is the reason? Because of love. We are disciplined because we are his children. It's our nature. We are disciplined because if we are subject to discipline, the result is true life. I have a friend I met recently. His heart rate a few years ago hit 200 while he's just working. And he had a bad lifestyle. He worked undisciplined in an undisciplined way. His marriage was falling apart. And what he did is he brought his life under discipline. He changed his eating habits. He exercised. He slept better. And he was telling me today, he enjoys life. So you see an example where by limiting yourself, you can live more. It's the same idea in our lives. Sometimes we think, Lord, I want to be able to do what I want. I want this, I want this, I want this. But God says, I know what you need best to truly live. And so discipline is part of that. My children, if I let them do whatever they want, they won't have the best life. I have to discipline them. And that's part of discipline. The same word, we'll talk about it again, is paideo. It's used there, and here is another use of it. It's so different. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training. Paideo, in righteousness. What does that word mean? It refers primarily to the training of discipline or discipline of children and includes instruction, discipline, correction, and warning. So God's discipline in our lives has two parts, to keep it simple. The correction part, when we do wrong, and the training part. The correction part, you sin, there's consequences. God allows consequences. God brings consequences. The training part, life's not easy. Later on, we have a testimony. My friend, he'll share. You know, sometimes we want the easy life, and God says, nope, I'm training you. I'm bringing you through tough times. For they discipline us for a short time. This is earthly fathers, as best to them. But how does God discipline us? For our good, so that we may share in his holiness. Look at that point. So what's the last broad idea? We have discipline. Love is discipline. Love disciplines because one, God loves us. He's our Father. He wants us to truly live. And then we may share in holiness. Part of discipline teaches us to what? Resist sin. So we can share in his holiness. You know, this is not about salvation and forgiveness. This is about sanctification. We'll talk about that at the end. But God wants us to share in his holiness. He who withholds his rod hates his son. But he who disciplines him, or he who loves him, disciplines him diligently. You know, Pastor Danny shared a story. Years ago, there was a girl who at 8 years old became known as the heaviest child in the world. And she was 430 pounds at 8 years old. When they interviewed the mom said, I keep all her favorite food in the fridge. And every 2 hours she eats and I let her eat whatever she wants. What happened to this child? She couldn't go to school because her legs could not support her weight. So eventually, the child was separated from the mom, and then the child lost 300 plus pounds because the mom wasn't treating her with true love, just treating her with permissive love. God is not like that. So we looked at the reason. Now we're going to look at the response. And to look at the response, we're going to look at the life of David. What is a godly response to discipline? Now, when you guys think of David, King David, what do you think of? A man after God's own heart. Isn't that an amazing credential? It says here, right? After he removed him, which is Saul, who disobeyed God, he raised up David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. You know, that's one of the things we learn about. Discipline teaches us holiness, a man who will do all my will. So David is known as shepherd, poet, songwriter, giant killer, king, ancestor of Jesus. But one time, he was walking on the roof of his palace when the kings go to war. And he didn't go to war. He was lazy. And we've heard this message many times. Sin begets sin. So David, his eyes wandered. He was awake at a wrong time. And he saw a woman bathing. And instead of looking away, because the Bible says, you know, to look at a woman lustfully is adultery, what did David do? He desired her. And he had a relationship with her. She was married. For those of you who may not know all the details, she was married to one of David's loyal men, Uriah. And then what did David do? God didn't allow him to escape. She got pregnant. David thought, everything's okay. She got pregnant. And then he said, Uriah, come back. And he had Uriah go home. He wanted Uriah to sleep with his wife. He thought, surely it'll be hidden. But Uriah didn't. So David told the generals, put Uriah in front and then pull away. So he implicated his own generals in murdering someone who was his friend. So David, all these things on the left side, is also known as a betrayer, a liar, a deceiver, adulterer, and a murderer. Yet the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. You know, all of us can relate with David. What happened to David? Do you think God disciplined him? You can be sure. In 2 Samuel 12, 9 to 10, look at what Nathan, God sent Nathan. All of us need a Nathan, or we should be a Nathan to someone. And what did Nathan say? Nathan said, why have you despised the word of the Lord? By doing evil in his sight. Notice, everything David did, Nathan said, you're despising God's word. Then he said, you have struck down Uriah the Hittite. And if you go to the end of the verse, he says, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. You know, all sin is against God. Yes, David sinned against Bathsheba, against Uriah. But when he was confronted, the main issue, he was sinning against God. He despised God and despised God's word. You know, this is a condemnation on sin. That's why the Bible says, do not take lightly sin. It is a terrible thing. So what is David's response when he was corrected? David said, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, when Saul was rebuked, he had excuses. He said, because of this, because of that. David never said, oh, it's because I was on the top of the, I couldn't control my eyes. No, he just said, I have sinned. And if you look, what happened? Nathan said, the Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die because we deserve to die because of our sins. So he was forgiven. But because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You know, many people knew about this, I assume. The generals whispered and talked about it. You didn't see David, do you know what he did? The child that is born shall surely die. I believe the consequences David experienced is not just for his generals, it's for us. Generations later, to realize God hates sin so much, he will not allow sin to go unpunished. And this is not to bring us all to a point of despair, because later on we will see God's redemption. But we should never take sin lightly. And that's why discipline is part of our life, right? So the child shall die. If you want to see what David said, when I kept silent about my sin, so this is Psalm 32, he said, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For those of you who have lived in sin, you know that feeling where you just feel the weight of guilt. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality is drained away as with the fever heat of summer. But here's the great tender side. I acknowledged my sin and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So David experienced God's forgiveness. But what was his response? It was repentance. So first, what is the reason? God's love and all those things I shared. But then, what should our response be when we experience discipline? Repentance. Like David. No excuses. I'm sorry. You know, my children, are you guys listening, Taylin? They fight. Even just last night, they were arguing. And I said, instead of pointing out the other person's mistake, what did you do wrong? So each one, starting with the oldest, who's supposed to be an example, said, I was not kind in my words. I was harsh or rude, right? Something like that. So I said, so what are you going to say? So she looked at her sister. She said, I'm sorry, Taylin. And Taylin says, I forgive you. And then Taylin's turn. Taylin did her own mistakes. So we must learn how to say sorry to God. And God isn't like us. God doesn't count sorries. God doesn't say, ay nako, pang 100 na yan, no more. Us, we count, right? How many times is this? God doesn't count. That's the beauty of God. But God looks at the heart, and God disciplines us because he knows our heart. So, that's David's response to correction. How about his response to training? You know, David was trained. I'll give you examples. When David was anointed king already, he did not immediately become king. He had to run away from Saul for years in the wilderness. You know, when David was a child, he was a shepherd. How many of you have watched sheep? No one? No one's a shepherd. Back then, they didn't have what? Phones. Walang TikTok. So you can't watch the sheep and then check your phone. Okay lang to, right? Because now you can do a job that's boring, but you have your phone. You're not really paying attention. But back then, what did David do when he was watching sheep? He learned how to speak sheep. Right? Or, you know why? I think he was so good at a slingshot. What else do you do if you're out in the wilderness with nothing to do? You practice hitting your slingshot at a little branch. That's how he hit Goliath in the head. He was trained because he had nothing else to do. But David was a shepherd, and he was trained in the wilderness with God. Imagine you're a shepherd. David says, when a lion or bear came. So there's a lion and a bear, and took the lamb. What did he do? He would chase after the lion and the bear. It says, and struck him and killed him. He's a faithful shepherd. He didn't, okay lang, lion, go have the lamb. I'll stay here. No, he went after it. And if you look at the next verse, this is when he was talking to Saul. He told Saul, I have killed a lion and the bear, and this Philistine, that was Goliath, will be like one of them. That's how David learned such confidence, because he taunted the living God. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. So what did David learn when he was being trained by God? He learned faith. He learned to trust God in the wilderness. So many of us, when we're going through not correction. Let's say you haven't sinned. You're just hard time in life. What is God teaching you? To trust him. To trust that when you have nothing but God, God is enough. It's hard. and we should help each other get through it. But that's part of life. So what is our choices and response? This slide's not working properly, but here we go. I think it will now work. Okay. We can either resent God bitterly, or, and that's, you know, do not despise the Lord's discipline and resent his rebuke. So when God rebukes us, we could resent it, or we can accept God's discipline reluctantly, or we can embrace God's discipline willingly. You know, in my life, for example, I don't know, when was this? Like a few years ago, not a few years ago, last year, sometime last year, I was on a trip in Taiwan and by myself. And my wife, she messaged me on our anniversary and I messaged her. But that night, I went on my phone, it was Instagram, and I started scrolling. And my wife knows this, so we've had a long conversation about this. I saw some pictures. Again, in my mind, it wasn't pornography, but I was just clicking on pictures of other people and just looking at it and scrolling, and I forgot about it. But I went home, and God impressed on my wife. It's such an odd question. When we were talking that the night after, she said, "This is how God doesn't let us get away." She said, "Did you look at anything in Taiwan?" I said, "Nah. Yeah, you know, maybe on Instagram I clicked." So listen to how I hid the truth. I said, "I clicked a little." She's like, "What do you mean you clicked a little?" I'm like, "No, just clicked. Maybe saw a profile, clicked on it." She's like, "You did? Which profile?" So she started to investigate. And I forgot that Instagram has history and all these histories. So I just made it a small thing. And then one night, she woke me up. She said, "I looked at your Instagram and I saw what you looked at." She said, "You know," and this is to summarize, she's like, "Maybe it's not porn, but it's an audition for porn." I was like, "What?" And you know, that began a very painful journey. We met with my parents. We talked about it. We looked through it. And I told my wife, and I have learned from that, be very careful what I click on. So even today, as an example, when I'm driving down EDSA, there are some billboards that shouldn't be there. So I just go like this, and I say, "Bahala na kung ma-accidente ako." You know, I just, you know, "Bahala na si Jesus." No, I don't. I just look down. But you guys know the point, right? I have learned to guard my eyes. I'm not bragging. Before, if someone has a feed, it posts something interesting, I'll click. But now if I see it's a girl and it might have something that my wife, if she sees me looking, will be hurt, I don't click. I'm not bragging, but it's so different. So I'd like to believe my Instagram is now much more holy than it used to be. If you're dating someone, you just look at their Instagram and not the history, whatever pops up shows what they click on. So if you open your Instagram and you see all these pictures of things you shouldn't be clicking on, you have to undo the algorithm. It takes a lot of work. So just delete the account and start a new one. But anyway, why did I share that? My wife and I have never had a harder time than last year into early this year with all of that. It took so long to remove the hurt. And God used that to really remind me. You know, David, I bet you David never forgot the consequence of sin. You think David ever forgot? Now, he sinned again later. It was a different sin. He did a census. David never committed adultery again because God didn't let him go. That's God's love. So, as we wrap up, the last part. Oh, before I wrap that part, some of us, we have a hard time repenting because we think, either one, my sin's not so bad, or number two, my sin is so bad, God can't forgive me. The Westminster Confession says, there is no sin so small, but it deserves damnation. Remember, no sin is too small. All sin deserves death. But there is no sin so great that it can bring damnation upon those who repent. So C.S. Lewis pointed out, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God forgave the inexcusable in us. If God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, we think we are a higher judge than God. So don't forget, no matter how far you have run from God, God is only one step behind you, waiting for you just to turn around. And as long as you are alive, today is the day. So, as we get to the last part, what is the result of this loving discipline that leads to repentance? Let us look first at a poem from Pastor Joby. Pastor Joby, who's speaking in Alabang, was so gracious as to share his poem. You guys know he loves poems, right? God's discipline, and I'll try to read it like Pastor Joby. God's discipline is not meant to crush us. No, that won't work. But to change us to do his will. Is not to punish us, but to pursue us to perfection. It's not supposed to hurt us, but to heal us from sin. It's not his way to get even, but his way to give us the best. It's not to throw us away, but to transform us his way. It's not for us to rot, but for us to repent and be restored. It's not what leads to forsaking, but love with forgiveness. It's not to bring us pain, but to bring us peace from guilt. It's not out of his loathe for us, but because of his love for us. Pastor Joby. So, what is the result? You know, Michelangelo was asked by a student how he sculpted an angel out of marble. And he said, I saw the angel in the marble, and I chiseled until I set it free. You know, God sees us with an eye we do not have. He loves us so great. He sees who we can be in Jesus. So God is working to bring us to that person we were designed to be. And this slide has that angel. It's pretty. So if you look at 1 John 1:9, the result. First, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. He is faithful. It doesn't say we are great and righteous. Because of what Jesus did, it's righteous for him to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not just, it's not he's doing us a favor. Because of what Jesus did, the righteous thing is to forgive us when we confess our sins. Because of Jesus, it's not us. It's freedom. Another thing we experience is, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Godly character. You know, God sees us as children. And he wrote this. So he's training us so that someday we will have that character. And each day we get more and more, right, of that godly character. And I think what we learn here we will use someday when we rule with him. Then, this is a small slide. I should make this bigger. It says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet for those who have been trained by it, so discipline is not joyful. Sometimes it seems not joyful. It doesn't say it is not joyful. It seems not joyful, but sorrowful. None of us like experiencing discipline. Yet for those who have been trained by it, yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's hard. It's hard to discipline. My daughter, I took her phone away for like a day and a half because she didn't listen to something and she thought I didn't say it. She thought, Taylin, right? Remember that, Tegan? And it was hard for me as a father. I didn't want to take her phone away. I felt bad for her. But it was the rule. So it's hard, but what does it do? It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You know, righteousness brings peace. We talked about this. To go to bed at night, knowing that you are right with God. That no matter what happens, if the world came to an end, you know where you're going. What is that? That's peace. To know that if no matter what happens in life, you are right with God. That's the best peace, right? And this is not just righteousness in Jesus, it's also sanctification. I believe it's both. Therefore, in Hebrews 12 to 13, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. So this is the ending of that verse. And we didn't read this morning, but it says, so strengthen. So, you know, because discipline is good for us, it leads to all these great things. Strengthen your hands, you know, get on it. And the knees that are feeble, and what? Make straight paths for your feet. Don't stray. So that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint. That's discipline, right? You know, when you go the wrong way, the sheep sometimes, the shepherd will put the limb out of joint so the sheep will learn its lesson, but says rather be healed. God wants to bring restoration into our lives. So part of the result of responding well to discipline is God's healing restoration. Forgiveness, we have righteousness, we have character, and God's healing in our lives. I've asked Brian, my friend and D Group family member, to share his testimony. Can we welcome Brian Tom Wong?
Around the start of the pandemic was also the start of my life as a business owner after 12 years of working as an architect for land developers. The plan was to go full-time into build and sell, which I had been partially doing already. I was very excited to finally be able to start something on my own. I was very hopeful and prayed that God would bless me in this new chapter of my life. Admittedly, I wasn't without worry or fear, but as things started to move along, I felt God's presence every step of the way. The first property we wanted to develop fell on our lap. We were able to acquire it at the price that we wanted. The construction was smooth and it sold quickly. I felt so blessed. God was walking ahead of me every step that I took, and it made me feel so loved by our Heavenly Father. As we moved forward and tried to grow our business further, the success didn't come quite as easy as the first ventures. Suitable properties were harder to come by, construction prices were sky high, and the market in general wasn't doing as well as we had hoped. As the challenges piled up, my cash flow slowed down as well. Even if I did my best to prepare, I slowly saw my bank account getting lower and lower, and the timelines we set were not accomplished in a way that we had hoped for. At first, it was just low. Then it became worryingly low, then fearfully low, to painfully low, to tearfully low. Prayer was my lifeline in those troubling times, and I tried my best to discern where God wanted to lead me. Coincidentally, my wife kept reminding me that I should practice my profession as an architect and design for others. I was hesitant at first, for in my prideful mind, I had told myself when I started a business that I only wanted to design for my own projects. To further augment our cash flow, I decided to try my hand at contracting as well, something that I was also hesitant to do before, and partnered up with a brother in Christ who I had worked with before. Surprisingly, these were the types of projects that were coming our way, so I had to humble myself and accept that this was the way that God wanted to bless me and to provide for my family. Things were generally going well, but challenges were still there, and the growing pains were quite evident. It reached a point when I was so overwhelmed with everything that was going on that I started doubting myself. I started pitying myself. I started questioning everything. I prayed and prayed, but this time God was silent. I would wake up with a lifeless look in my eyes and just drown myself in my hopeless thoughts and worries, trying desperately to find solutions by my own strength. Before I knew it, I was already starting to believe the enemy's lies, that I was bound to fail, that life was just really hard and unfair, and that there was no hope. I even started to believe that because of this, I would get sick and die early. I felt I had no one to turn to and no one to help me. I missed my dad, who passed away 15 years ago, and I wondered if I would have been going through what I was going through if he was still alive. I envied people who still had dads and felt angry at my situation. My wife unceasingly prayed for me and reminded me that it wasn't in God's character to bring us this far just to let us fall. God also used my son to remind me by sharing a book that explained how we should face our problems head on and not cower against adversity. Talking to me back then was like talking to a lifeless rock. I spent hours each day staring at the floor or the wall. Eventually, a dear friend shared a passage from Proverbs chapter 9 with me that really helped me. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. That's when I started to look up once again to our Heavenly Father and seek Him for answers. I realized that I feared my low bank account more than I feared the Lord, and that wallowing in self-pity is the total opposite of trusting Him. At the same time, God wouldn't want me to live in fear or in doubt, and that the price He paid for my life was too great for me to just hide in a corner and feel defeated. Watching my children mold clay into different creations reminded me of how God molds us as well to be the person He made and wants us to be. Life may be unpleasant as we are being stretched, poked, pounded, and squeezed, but in the end, God can use it to build our character. At the beginning of my journey, it felt like God was holding my hand and guiding me. When challenges arose, I felt like I was riding a bike with the training wheels off and that God had left me. But looking back, I know He's been watching over me and cheering for me the whole time. When I fell, I know He wanted to pick me up, but it was more important for Him to take a step back and let me grow and learn. Though bruised and battered, God not just helped me survive, but made me triumph over my challenges, and I gained the following nuggets of wisdom from it. Prayer, obedience, and following Christ does not guarantee a problem-free life, but I know that whatever happens, God will give us the strength and courage to see it through. Adversity is there to refine our character, to make us more Christ-like, and to build and strengthen our relationship with God. When we pray for success and blessings, God will do His part and make sure that we are well equipped to receive it. Lastly, God is always with us and God is always for us. His plans exceed anything we could ever dream for ourselves, and we can trust in Him completely. He will never leave us or forsake us. My life today is still not without challenges and problems, but I trust that with God by my side, I have nothing to fear, because there is someone bigger in control, the architect of the universe and of our lives, and everything that He allows to happen is an opportunity to grow, mature, and glorify Him. These days, I can confidently say that I enjoy the roles that I previously said I will not do. Our cash flow is much better despite the challenges. God's plan is definitely better than what I had envisioned for myself when I was starting out. More than worldly success and a stable bank account, God taught me to fix my eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of my faith. He reminded me to seek Him first above all things and trust Him to provide for everything that I will ever need. To God be the glory.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. I asked Brian's family, oh, your children, bring them to come. Now, Brian, I've been with him through this. I've heard his laments and the sad stories. And, you know, I'm so blessed to see how God's been taking him through it. And Brian didn't have some great sin, but it's the everyday journey, right? It's challenging. So this is his my wife, and we it's our D group, and this is Lang and his wonderful children. So we want to pray for them. And he's blessed with such amazing sons. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Brian and his testimony and Lang and their testimony and their children. Lord, I pray you continue to bless them. I pray for everything in their lives, Lord, that their story would resonate with others and that they would be used by you to be a blessing. Lord, I pray for all the provisions, financial, but more importantly, spiritual, their health, and their relationships, that your hand would be on them. Thank you for them and their family. I lift them up to you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Lang. So as we close, you know, I wanted to just wrap up with King David because we saw what the reason is. God loves us, and it's his design. It leads to true life when we're disciplined. We saw the response. It should be repentance, like David, and you know, to trust God. And then we saw the result: forgiveness, godly character. Look at David. David, despite all of that, despite having lost a child, he loved God's commands. If you study the Psalms, David trusted God. David was grateful to God to the end of his days. And David repented when he sinned each time. There's a saying, hard times create strong men. David went through hard times. Strong men create good times. And good times create weak men. Then weak men create hard times. You know, this is the Judges. In the Judges, it talks about this cycle of sin, confess, God's judgment, and then repentance. I pray we don't go through the cycle. We don't have to copy this. And the reason, and I have another quote I really like, is God is working in our hearts. So the Nobel Prize winner, Alexander, I can't pronounce it, Solzhenitsyn, who was imprisoned in Russia, he said, the line separating good and evil passes not through countries, classes, political parties, but through every human heart. The Bible tells us something very similar. It says the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? But it says, but I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. You know, God is looking at all our hearts. And if I were to be honest, my heart doesn't fit the test. It fails. And heart work is hard work. So how do we change our heart? First, I think we have to understand what David understood. You have to know the despair of guilt. Then you can appreciate the wonder of forgiveness. I think for all of us, the challenge is to really understand that before God, we are sinners. We'll never have a perfect heart apart from God. I think David understood that. You know, I asked myself, what differentiated David from Saul? And what differentiated David from Solomon? You know, Saul and Solomon, they didn't end well. Solomon had all the wisdom. He was the wisest person. But Ecclesiastes doesn't talk about God's loving forgiveness. You know, I think the difference with Saul, Solomon, and David is this. They all sinned, They all knew God or about God, but David repented and, see, Saul said sorry when he made mistakes, but his sorry was, I'm sorry, Samuel, can you still come with me, etc., etc. When David repented, he understood that God forgave him. I think for all of us, if we think it's our repentance that saves us, we're going to have a problem. Then you're going to keep trying to repent on your own strength. The Bible tells us, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All those verses we talked about, the secret is that Jesus, the author of love, went before us. And all of us can have a heart after God's own heart, but it is in Jesus Christ. God says, I will make you a new creation. So, in closing, David, at the end of his days, look at this. This is one of the last psalms of his life, the later psalms. He didn't complain. He said he worshiped God. And I just want to point out verse 8. He said, and the Lord is gracious and what? Merciful. I hope we all have that heart. It seems that God is slow to anger, great in loving kindness. So, he says, David said this, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. And Hebrews tells us, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You know, yesterday we cannot change. All of us, the mistakes we made, we cannot go back. Tomorrow isn't here yet. All the dreams of what we should do tomorrow. You know, we want to lose weight. Tomorrow I'll diet. Tomorrow I'll exercise. That doesn't work. Today is the day to not eat that McDonald's hamburger. You know what I'm saying? Today is the day to repent. Not tomorrow, not later, now. So whenever God speaks to you, what is a heart after God's own heart? We listen. So how is God speaking to you guys? What is God telling you? Hey, it's time to start that D group. Or hey, you know, I want you to tell your children you love them. Don't wait till tomorrow. Hey, I want you to forgive. Hey, I want you to come to me, to trust in me alone to save you. That's today. Let us bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a great God, that your discipline, it leads to repentance. Your kindness is for us. You are for us. Lord, I pray that all of us here will have a heart after your own heart that can only be found in Jesus. So if there's anyone here who desires to come to Jesus, just pray with me. Lord, I confess I am a sinner. I need you. But thank you that because of you, I can be righteous. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me and change me. For everyone else, Lord, I pray that we will be like David, and more than David, we'll be like Christ. And we will love and experience love from you and be grateful every day of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you.
Good day, CCF family. Welcome to Sunday Fast Track, where you ask real-life questions and we give you biblical truths. I'm Michelle Obligacion from the Big Singles Ministry, and we're here today with our speaker, Peter Tanchi Jr., to answer some of your questions. Good day, Peter.
Hi, Michelle. Nice to be here.
Yeah, praise God for your message. Thanks for sharing God's truth to us today. It's clear that no one enjoys discipline. Even the Bible tells us that. Knowing this, how can we encourage and be of support to those who are struggling with correction and discipline, whether from God, their parents, authorities, or even peers?
You know, what people don't realize is when people are going through discipline, they feel alone. They feel that, you know, God has judged them, or sometimes in the church, people, they feel like people are talking about them. The best thing you can do is love them, to say that, hey, God loves you. I'm here. How can I listen to you? How can I help? So to be there, to show them godly love, it takes effort. It's going to take, you know, work. That's the best thing we can do. And then to pray for them. So sometimes a lot of advice doesn't help, but to just go to God and say, I pray for this person and I'm here to listen to them, changes everything.
Praise God for that. Thank you, Peter. We are learning a lot about the love of Jesus. And you know what? This Holy Week, we are going to discover more about who Jesus is in light of the gospel story. We invite you to mark your calendars at the end of this month for CCF's Holy Week special video entitled, This is Jesus, the Truth We All Need, airing on CCF social media channels. And that's it for CCF Sunday Fast Track. God bless you.
God bless.